Well, good morning. It's great to be back in St. Oliver's Primary School, National School, and it's so good to be able to see everyone again and not in little boxes on the Zoom, but to see you live and in person. Starting a new series. We finished Isaiah last week, and we're starting a new series that I'll explain it a little bit later, but I've just entitled it God of All Comfort series. And I've entitled it this way because of verses that you've mentioned during prayer time, but as I said, I'll explain that a little further as we go along. But when you look at 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4, I took the title from these verses. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So what have we learned in the last 14 months? What are some things we have learned or new things we have seen during this pandemic? Well, you know, there's don't touch your face, wash your hands, sneeze into your elbow, social distancing, wear a mask. We haven't been able to eat in a restaurant, so it's been takeaway only. New shops such as Black Sheep Cafe, Hugga-Mugga, the Waffle House, the Crepe House, Spoonogue, 1177, Clip Clop Coffee Shop, Re-Raw Coffee, and I'm sure there are more that I've forgotten. They've all cropped up during this time. We've learned how to use Zoom, whether we liked it or not. It helped us continue to meet as a church. We started a Tuesday morning prayer time, and for me, that has been the best part of the last year. It is a joy and a privilege to hear the saints praying for the concerns of their hearts. We pray for family concerns, relationships, children, health issues, and those who need Jesus. And that has been the most passionate of prayers, prayers for the many that we know who are lost in sin and without hope. Prayers for family, for neighbors, for people in the community. Prayers for revival in Killarney, throughout County Kerry, and all of Ireland. I hope that one day, if the Lord has not returned yet, that people will look back and see the fruit of the Munster Revival or the Kerry Revival, and see the many churches planted and young men called to be pastors. I mean, that's my prayer. It has happened in the past, and God may have this planned for the future. I've also observed certain emotions in people, whether they are of the church or not. Emotions and feelings such as fear, doubt, panic, anxiousness, apathy, depression, loneliness, helplessness, isolation. For Christians, we can turn to the Lord in prayer. We can pray to the Lord. We can read the Bible. We can talk to another Christian we trust. We can encourage each other. We can ask each other for prayer. But I don't know how the non-Christians have coped during this. And in what do they place their trust? I mean, while walking, I see fear in their eyes. I see anxiousness, hopelessness, and depression. I mean, without the hope of Christ, there is nothing. They have nothing. Everything of this world that man places his trust and hope in, it will fail. Christ is the only assured hope for the world. And during our prayer times, I have kept track of the verses that have been shared each week. Tuesday morning has been a great time to share scriptures and what the Lord has done. I was comparing the verses, reading through them again, and noticed a theme: words of comfort from the Lord. Many psalms were shared, such as Psalm 20, 27, 121, and 139. verses from the Gospels and Paul's letters were shared, and all had one thing in common. What does God say about himself in relation to me? How does God comfort me? How does God say that he will comfort me? So I decided to spend a few weeks sharing these different verses. And this is what I have planned unless God corrects my course. I've entitled the series, The God of All Comforts. And just so you have know where I'm going with this, today is I am gentle and lowly, and that's a verse of my choosing to start with. It's also because of the book that I handed out to you. I am. See, I originally thought about doing an I am series and the seven I am statements in John, but then after looking at the verses and seeing how God was speaking to you through Scripture, then I kind of came up with my own I am, because it's what God is saying I am to you. I am love. In 1 John, I am your keeper in Psalm 121. I know you, Psalm 139. I am your strength, Ephesians 3. I am trustworthy in Psalm 20. I am your deliverer in Colossians 1. And I am your salvation in Psalm 27. Now, the first sermon is one I chose because of the gift that I provided, as I said. I hope this book will be an encouragement to you. It is a devotional, and each chapter is based on Scripture. The title of the book comes from today's Scripture in Matthew 11. The idea of Jesus being gentle and lowly in heart is kind of the foundation of why the Lord wants to comfort us. He reveals to us the heart of the Savior. It reveals to us the heart of the Savior. These verses are very personal between Jesus and us. And the three points that we're going to look at is, first, Jesus invites us to come and rest. And then he invites us to take his yoke and learn from him. And lastly, Jesus explains why his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So let me read Matthew 11, and I'm going to read verses 25 to 30, just to put it all in context. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, I read all of these verses because it's a prayer of thanksgiving to God the Father. This prayer is in response to the previous verses. When you look at verses 20 to 24. To the cities that did not repent. Cities in which Jesus preached and did many miraculous and mighty works, and they rejected him. They did not know, did not acknowledge him. Jesus then gave warning to those cities of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. These people heard the gospel and saw the miracles. They had Jesus in front of them, and they rejected him. So in his prayer, Jesus thanked God for hiding the truth from the wise and understanding, and that he revealed the truth to little children. Now, the wise and understanding are the proud and arrogant of the world, who do not want God. They do not want to be told there is an absolute truth. Because of their stubbornness, they will refuse God. Yes, some will soften their heart and will turn to the Lord. The Lord wants everyone to turn to him, but Too many will stubbornly ignore God and ignore the calling of the Holy Spirit. Yet the little children are those people who are willing to humble themselves and heed the calling of the Lord. It's like we need to come to the Lord as little children. The revelation is that Jesus is the only way to the Father. As Jesus said himself in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, Jesus, who is the only way to heaven and to God the Father, invites all to come to him. He says, come. Now, one translation says it this way. He says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Another old preacher rephrased verse 28 in this way, and he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, heavy laden with your controversies, your misunderstandings, your ceremonial observances, burden-bearing of every kind. It is a mistake. It is needless. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. So think about this. What do we need rest from? Most of what we need rest from are the burdens and guilt that we place on ourselves. We carry around bags of rubbish that we don't need. It's like the story I heard of a father and son going backpacking. The son said he liked to collect rocks. So he is picking up rocks all day, and by the end of the day, his pack was twice as heavy as when he started. The dad said, you are needlessly adding weight to your burden. I am not going to carry those. You don't need them. Get rid of them. We keep too much rubbish in our lives that weigh us down mentally and emotionally. Memories, fears, doubts, nervous habits, agendas, plans, vows, unnecessary promises that can't be kept, guilt. Jesus wants you to bring it all to him. Why? Because there is no rest to be had except through Jesus Christ. Only in Christ can we experience the rest God promises, that he promises. God promised in Jeremiah 20 and 31, he said, I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint. The world wants rest, but there is no rest. Christ is the only one who can give rest to the soul. But the first thing we must do is to accept his invitation and come to him. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, this is a reminder to turn everything over to Jesus. Don't hold on to anything unnecessary. Don't carry a backpack full of rocks of guilt, memories, anxieties. God promises that if you come to him, he will give rest. Rest for a weary soul, a fearful soul, an anxious soul. Again, in Jeremiah 6, God said, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. And that ancient path is Jesus. Jesus is the way. That's what the gospel of Jesus was, how it was referred to in Acts, the way. Jesus is the way, the ancient way. Turn to him. Give him the rubbish in your life. Let him deal with it. Let him burn it. Let him cleanse it. Let him heal it. Now that last line of Jeremiah 6:16, where he says, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and find rest for your souls. There's one more line. It says, but they said, we will not walk in it. How tragic is that? That's the way of the cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida. That's the way of the world. That's the way of the proud and the arrogant. They are the ones who refuse Jesus' invitation. Yet, for those who do, Jesus says there is more than just accepting and allowing him to give them rest. He wants to teach them. Jesus doesn't want to only do for us and we not learn anything, but he wants to teach us how to grow in spiritual maturity. Too many people stay in verse 28. They come into the church, they linger around, they get a good feeling for a while, but they never commit to giving Jesus everything, allowing him to teach them. They never feel the rest that Jesus wants them to have. Jesus wants to give the rest, give that rest and more. He wants us to grow. And that leads us to the second point, to take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now, what does that word yoke mean? It's an old term, not used too often today. It means for two objects to be connected. Most notably is the idea of a yoke of oxen or horses. And this is when two work animals are connected with a wooden yoke. This device forces the two animals to work together and move in the same direction. When a new oxen was bought by a farmer, he would take the new animal to the older one. The older animal was used to the yoke. He was used to the work. He knew what to do and where to go. He knew the commands of the farmer and he followed them. The younger animal might be scared of the yoke and not want to move. It's uncomfortable. It's different. Why do I have to wear this thing? It might be a spirited animal and want to go its own way. It might go fast or go slow. By being harnessed, yoked, to the more experienced animal, the younger one learns what is expected. He submits himself to the more experienced animal. It will eventually move alongside the older one, working together to be a productive team of animals. And that is the idea that Jesus has when he extends this second invitation. Not only has he invited us to come to me, but also to take my yoke upon you. Jesus is saying that it's time to stop trying to do it on your own. Walk with me. Work with me. See how I do things. Follow my example. Paul supports this when he wrote in Ephesians 5, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God." If we are going to imitate anyone, we imitate Christ. There's nothing else in the world worth emulating. All men are fallible. No matter how godly we think they may be, and no matter how smart they may be, no matter how moral they may seem, they are still men. Christ is the perfect example, and he invites us to join with him and learn from him. Now, what have we learned about ourselves during this past year? Well, that's an introspective question that you will need to answer for yourself. Have you been fearful? And you need to walk with Jesus. Have you been anxious? Learn from Jesus. Do you hold on to sins and guilt because you feel they are unforgivable? Drop them at the feet of Jesus and let him forgive you. When we come to Jesus and yoke with him, it is a process. We accept his invitation, but then we need to submit ourselves to his teaching. And that's the main idea, submitting to Jesus, being humble and allowing Jesus to teach us and to train us. And Peter said, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus was rejected by men, yet he was the precious cornerstone of the church, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's all him, our Redeemer and Savior. When we come to Jesus, we are rejected by the world. The world does not care if we survive or not, but God does. Why? Because he loves us more than we can ever imagine. Because he loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus. So that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's how much God loves us. And when we come to Christ, submitting ourselves to his yoke of learning, we will be built up as a spiritual house, as Peter wrote, as a royal priesthood, so that we can teach and preach the gospel to those who need to hear, so that we can train up our families to know God and his Son, Jesus Christ, so that we can give testimony to our family, our co-workers, and our community. But when we come to Christ, is he a taskmaster? Is he an angry and difficult teacher? Is he a loud instructor? No, he is gentle and lowly in heart. Now, what does that mean? Well, first look again at those warnings before in verses 21 to 24. To the prideful who will repent, who will not repent, to the prideful who will not repent, Jesus says, woe to you. And then he says, it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for Sodom than for you. He's compared those cities who's rejected him to the evil city of Sodom. He's telling those cities it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for Sodom than it will be for you. Since they rejected Jesus, he gives them the harsh reality of their actions. But to those who humble themselves before him, seeking forgiveness of sin, Christ shows great compassion. Being gentle and lowly in heart does not mean being weak-minded or being mushy and sweet like a romantic comedy. It means true compassion. It is his character. And one quote says, for lowly gentleness is not one way Jesus occasionally acts towards the others. Gentleness is who he is. It is his heart. Jesus cannot change his character for different situations. He is who he is because he is God. He doesn't change with the wind. His character stays the same. The word for gentle is only used three times in the New Testament. It is translated as gentle or humble. And the context of this word is that Jesus is accessible. While God the Father seems out of reach, beyond our imagination or comprehension, that he's just his throne is in heaven and the earth is his footstool, and that's just hard to grasp. But God the Son came to earth as a man, making himself accessible to all men who believe in him. Isn't it nice? Isn't it nice to meet someone who is famous in the world's eyes, yet they have a humbleness about them? That is a rare occurrence, isn't it? Well, think again on what these words from Paul about Jesus. He says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. That's the description of being gentle and lowly, being accessible to all men. Think about all that the stories of Jesus, all of the Sunday school stories that have been shared over this last year. Think about the compassion that Jesus felt as he looked at the people lost and hopeless, like sheep without a shepherd. Think about of the compassion he had for the Samaritan woman at the well, whose life was in such a mess. She offered Jesus water, but he offered her the living water. Think about the compassion he felt for the disgraced woman who was about to be stoned by the religious crowd. Jesus knelt down next to her, talking words of comfort to her. He came down to her level. Think about the times when Jesus went to the homes of sinners and tax collectors, sitting at their table, mingling with their friends. Why? Because they needed spiritual healing. They were spiritually sick and they needed the great physician. That is gentle and lowly in heart. That is Jesus being accessible to all. And what is the outcome of this? It's if we accept his invitation and become yoked with Jesus, we will find rest for our souls. This is not a promise of rescue from from the situation we're in. I mean, Jesus might, excuse me, might take us out of that situation. But it's not a promise of rescue from the situation, but it's a promise of rest and peace for our souls. He gives us the strength to cope with our situations. Is this pandemic still dragging you down? Then look to Jesus. Accept his invitation and learn from him. Be teachable. That's being submissive. Be teachable. Are there struggles in life that seem hopeless? Look to Jesus. Another translation for Philippians 4 is, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. That is Paul rephrasing Jesus' invitation. Give it all to Jesus. Let him give you the rest for your soul and the peace of mind that only comes from him. Now, why do we make things so difficult? We overthink our problems and we end up multiplying them. We try to use the world's solution and we only go further down the rabbit hole. Why does the world avoid Jesus? Why do people choose to worship in some areas, some religions? Why do people choose to worship a dozen house gods, building a shrine in their home, daily putting sacrifices on their shrine and outside as the monks pass by? Why do they continually pray to gods that they know will never answer them? Because they will say that their gods are too busy anyways. Why trust in money or governments or men who dress well and speak well but have no morals and ethics? Jesus said, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus isn't going to make you perform acts of works just to appease him. When yoked to Jesus, you are learning from him, following his example. In John 14, Jesus explains further how the disciples and us will be taught. And he also talks about the peace that he gives. But the Helper, or the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Lord will send in my name, who the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. When we are yoked with Jesus, we are given the gift of God the Holy Spirit from God the Father. When we are yoked with Jesus, we are yoked with the amazing triune God who loves us, cares for us, teaches us, and provides the only peace and rest for our souls. Isn't that amazing? An old Bible teacher and pastor by the name of H.A. Ironside, or Harry Ironside, wrote many easy to read and practical commentaries. He had two things to say about this rest that God provides. The first is the rest that the Lord Jesus gives freely to all who come to him. It is the rest of conscience in regard to sin. The distressed soul, burdened with a sense of guilt, comes to him and finds peace when he trusts him as the great sin bearer. The rest of conscience is the equivalent of that peace that Paul writes about in Romans 5:1. Where he says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We have peace and rest because of our salvation through Jesus Christ. And the second rest is a rest of heart. So you have a rest of conscience in regard to sin, and a rest of heart. Now, adverse circumstances may rise up to alarm us and fill the heart with fear and anxiety, but he who takes Christ's yoke and learns of him is able to be calm in the midst of the storm. He finds perfect rest as he trusts all to him. 1 John 5, I don't have the whole verses there, that's verse 4, but 1 to 4 says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandment. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. If we accept Christ's invitation, Jesus' invitation to yoke with him, we are overcomers. And we can enjoy his peace and rest when we learn to commit everything to him. I'd just like to close with the words to a song, and then we're going to sing it. And it's a song that we've sung before. I'm just going to read the first verse and chorus, and then we'll go ahead and sing it. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see? There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's close by singing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.